Welcome to the VitaRabbit WebXR podcast, where we talk about AR and VR on the web. My name is Jonathan. I co-founded VitaRabbit and founded Wonderland Engine.
My name is Florian, and I am the co-founder of VitaRabbit and a WebXR developer at Construct Arcade. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the newest episode of the VitaRabbit podcast. We have an amazing guest today. Welcome, Dries Kroons, the developer of Pluckle.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Awesome to be here.
Yes, welcome to our podcast. You are one of the first developers featured on the Oculus browser next to Process Suite developer Stromline, and that joins us. And we will today talk about a lot of topics pertaining to WebXR development. And the first thing I wanted to know is, what is your background and how did you get into WebXR development?
So by trade, I am a full stack developer, and I've always loved to experiment with new frameworks, libraries. And I've also always been busy with game development in my free time, always in the browser. And last year during quarantine, I was joking about my girlfriend about getting a VR headset and having to create a game for it. So when I actually got a VR headset, I got lost in the world of VR for about 3 months. And then at the end of the year holidays, I finally picked up the pace and decided to start making a game in VR. I looked at a couple of libraries and frameworks and ended up with choosing 3JS because I had prior experience with it. And my my background as a web developer made it easy to look at like all the React packages. So I noticed React Defiber. I started clicking around, noticed React XR, and that seemed like it made everything way easier, and I basically never looked back.
Before we get into talking about Pluckle, would you mind telling us about how it is like making a game with React Defiber?
As I mentioned, having React experience definitely helps, but it's most definitely not necessary. To me, like having to manage your own engine in 3JS was always a big hassle because I felt like I was focusing more on creating the engine around it instead of the actual game. And React Defiber takes over the full engine, and you can actually focus on creating your game.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. How like is this performance-wise? Because an issue that a lot of frameworks have is that you spend a lot of time on optimization. And how is that with React Defiber?
So React Defiber is a 3JS renderer for React. So instead of rendering DOM elements as you would with React DOM, you just render 3D objects that you define as components. Mm-hmm. They react to state as DOM objects would do. And it's not version dependent on 3JS. It just expresses 3JS objects in a JSX-like syntax. Now, there are no major things that go wrong in terms of like performance because it just passes everything to 3JS. It could even be that it's more performant just because React does so much of the heavy lifting for you that you could even make better quote unquote games with React Defiber just because React makes it so easy.
Okay, so it doesn't do anything on top of 3JS that wouldn't make the performance basically limited by whatever 3JS can do, right?
No.
Okay, very, very cool. It's one of the few frameworks that we don't talk about that much simply because we ourselves don't have as much experience with it. But I think Florian knows a bit of React and a bit of 3JS, so maybe the intersection of that is relatable.
Yeah, I did some React Defiber demo projects to get working for Zesty, but nothing serious, so not started making game. Maybe one day for a game jam or something, but for now I'll stick to what I know.
Yeah, and like the examples on that you can find on the docs are super straightforward. Mm-hmm. You can render like a cube in a couple lines of code. So yeah, I definitely suggest you check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty powerful. Definitely check it out. Okay, let's move on to your game then. Tell us a bit about Pluckle. What is Pluckle? When did you already said, but when did you get started on it? And how did you get started on creating it? What was the motivating factor?
So Pluckle is a spatial block puzzle game where you assemble different shapes of blocks and combine them in certain ways in order to solve puzzles. These puzzles go from being abstract and challenging, like combining 20 blocks in order to create one giant cube, to fun and relaxing, like assembling a blocky looking car or a banana, for example. And the idea just simply came from me playing around with the with a React XR example that I found on Code Sandbox. That it was this project which had cubes and there'd be gravity pulling them down. I had seen cubism in the past and I thought to myself, I guess this should be able to be done in the browser, right? So in about 7 days, I hacked a demo together. I put that online and sent it to friends and that thing became Plockle. If I say demo, you don't need to imagine like a full game. It was just one level. There was no end game state, so you would just be stuck in VR after you finished the puzzle. But React3D Fiber made it easy for me to prototype and, as I mentioned before, actually focus on the game itself. So there was no polishing at that time. Yeah, it was just a hacked demo.
For our listeners who haven't played Plockle yet, you can play it on the Oculus browser and soon enough on Constructor Arcade, hopefully.
Yep.
If we get the backend right. But that'll happen probably this month or next month.
And yeah, so I started working on it back in December during my end of the year holidays. So I did the 7 days of hacking the demo together. And on the last day of 2020, I posted a demo on Twitter. And yeah, since then, yeah, people have been playing it and I've just been getting a lot of feedback. So that really motivates me to keep working on it.
Awesome. Would you mind talking about how many players you're seeing around each month, maybe?
So,
or just generally talking about the numbers?
Yeah, sure. Right now, since Plockle has been posted to the Oculus new tab page, I've had more than 30,000 players. So in the last bit over 3 months, I'd say. In total, the website has been visited by bit more than 40,000 people. It currently has around 40 levels, which is around like 10 hours of playtime, I'd say, on average.
Oh, cool.
It is rated 4.1 out of 5 by over 3,000 players. Yeah, it's fun to see. It really motivates me a lot. Mm-hmm. The Oculus new tab page is super cool that it's there. Being able to quickly share experiences with people, and it brings a whole new audience to WebXR, and I love that.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's a quite significant audience. Are you planning to make any money off of that game?
So right now I do not make any money with Plockle. I've had some people reach out that they wanted to fund the development of Plockle.
Cool.
And I've been in talks with some advertiser parties, but I must say my focus has never been on making money. I'd rather be the developer that has like a game with 100,000 players than a game that made like 10,000 euros. I'm truly interested in like WebXR, the API, and I want to be part of that community that pushed this, right? I just want to make it so the threshold is as low as possible for people to have a go at a puzzle game or to try Plockle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to me, WebXR is the coolest thing. It lets you enter an immersive experience by just browsing to a URL. So I feel like if I asked money for the game or if I would put too many ads in there, people would... Yeah, I don't think I would reach as much people, but I've definitely been in talks and I'm looking at what I can do to monetize Plockle, let's say.
Mm-hmm. I would say you're a seasoned WebXR developer now. What would you say are one of the most important lessons you've learned since you started working on Plockle?
A good question. A couple of things. First of all, I feel like I've become a way better React developer. Turns out building web games is way harder than making web apps.
Yeah,
you guys probably know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Like making sure your game stays running at a stable FPS rate, especially for immersive experience so that people don't get motion sick, is way more difficult than just making sure a page renders within 100 milliseconds, for example.
Yeah.
I feel like I've become a way better React developer. But other than that, another lesson is that you must also realize that we're only just getting started. And that means that a lot of stuff is still work in progress. Now, that shouldn't scare you because you actually learn how to debug stuff and how to figure stuff out. Like sometimes just stuff just breaks. And you can't as easily find a related GitHub issue or a Stack Overflow post that helps you. You actually, like I mentioned, you have to do some debugging. The tooling still needs a lot of work. Like you have the WebXR emulator, you've got the motion module that is called Yucaton. I don't know if you guys have seen it on Twitter. Like a small cube. And you can make it so you can move your camera around on the scene in 3GS, but with an actual hardware module. So
interesting. Wow, cool.
Yeah, I was looking into that because after like a long VR session and with having to have your headset on your head, like on and off the whole time, it can get quite exhausting. So I was looking into alternatives and the WebXR emulator ain't cutting it for me. There's just so much stuff I'd want to do with that.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of things that can be improved in terms of ergonomics when it comes to developing with a headset. I think it was worse when before the Quest came out with the HTC Vive, where you had to have all these cables lying around and you couldn't even do wireless debugging. You had to do a lot of issues. So it's getting better, but I definitely understand that there's still a long way to go before we are like, oh, this is exactly as ergonomical as developing a native app.
Yep. But on the other hand, that also motivates me, right? That everything is still so much work in progress. Like I'm also been trying to do more open source because I feel like I want to be a more engaged member of the community. And if you look at what Poimandres has been doing for like the WebXR and like the React community for 3D on web, I'd also want to be part of that, right? Like helping out the next wave of new developers that hopefully choose WebXR to ship VR experiences with.
Yeah, they're doing some great stuff also with the market where you can also just get web optimized assets for free for your applications.
Yep.
It just makes a lot of development easier.
Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, I'm no designer, so the landing page with different sort of blocks would just be experimenting. But same thing goes for like 3D assets. That's also a reason why Pluckle is so minimalistic. I just have no idea on how to model. I just do everything in code. So the market is a like a big helper for people who have no idea how to model and to just get going, basically, right?
Yeah, at some point we will need more modelers in this space, I think. But for now, it starts off with people just making cool stuff with whatever they got, similarly to how video games were in the 80s or 90s, where you had hardware that was really limiting people and they had to, you know, be clever with what they make. So
yep, indeed.
Awesome. What's next? Okay. So what were one of the hardest challenges while making Pluckle?
Probably all of the 3D stuff. Before Pluckle, I had never heard of quaternions. I'd always done like 2D stuff before. And I did not expect adding another axis would make everything so much more difficult. Also finding the time, as I mentioned, we're playing with technologies that have not been around for a long time. So stuff breaks, but I guess we're here to fix it, right? I remember this time where I had to do like specific version upgrades for Pluckle, upgrading to the latest React 3 Fiber, the latest React XR. I was waiting for the new parcel builder to be released. So it was just like weeks on end checking out if that version had been updated, checking if I had to do some fixes, if I had to create some PRs, just to make sure that everything would come together and work again, because I wasn't able to ship my hand tracking module.
Ah, I see.
If the versions weren't upgraded and there was like there were version mismatches and stuff. So yeah, that's probably one of the more hardest things about Pluckle or WebXR game development at the moment. But we're getting there.
I think the 3D thing to understand 3D might be an inherent thing from code-based frameworks. I think 3D editors usually don't have that problem as much because you have immediate visual feedback on the 3D stuff you're working on, right? I think probably with 3 Fiber, do they have an editor? I don't think so, right?
No. There's no editor. Or there might be, I just have no idea. Everything had to be done through code, which made it a true hassle. Well, for me at least.
Yeah, I bet. Especially since placing 3D objects in code is never fun. Like that's been so in A-Frame and 3GS and Buffalo.js and basically any code-only framework. That's just a difficulty there. How did you author the levels? Like how did you create the blueprint of how the level is going to look like, which forms there are going to be, what the final result is going to look like in Pluckle?
So at first, it would just be me in my mind imagining how a level would look and having to define it with like vectors. But that was really difficult, so I quickly hacked together another prototype, which was the level builder for Pluckle.
Oh, cool.
It's basically just a web application where you can just click around and place blocks wherever your mouse is pointing, and you're able to quickly prototype levels. And it basically just exports a JSON format that I can directly put into Firebase. And once it's on Firebase, people can start playing the level.
Oh, wow, cool.
It's like a basic export and import. So it's pretty easy to actually to create and try out new levels. Also with the rating system I mentioned earlier, it's super easy for me to pick up if something's going wrong or if a level isn't playing right. If I see the rating tanking for like 2 days on end, then I know that something is wrong. But that also makes it fun because I can quickly reiterate on like changing levels, changing mechanics, and making sure that everything works okay again.
That's really cool, yeah.
Pretty important to get the feedback from the players.
Yep.
We're also thinking about like how we can improve that on our end for Constructorcade. So
yeah,
that sounds really interesting.
I was thinking about like, because typing in VR is like a true pain. Now with having the controller support in like in the immersive experience would make it easier. But I was thinking about having some sort of record audio button where people could just talk on their headset and provide feedback like that. But I think if I'd have to be asking for the microphone permission, that people would find it a bit aggressive, I feel like. I don't know. Yeah, it's really hard to capture feedback on in VR right now, I'd say.
Definitely the permission thing. But as long as you're clearly communicating that you're asking the permission for the feedback only, I think that might be okay with certain people.
Yeah, probably.
I wonder with like Pluckle now being pretty rounded off, I'd say. I guess you'll probably be continuing creating levels. But are you looking to build like the next WebXR project, a future project of yours? Anything maybe already in your head that you're trying to map out and looking forward to building?
Yeah, I have plenty of ideas. I have this Google keyboard with like at least 20 ideas, I'd say. Some are more defined than others, but yeah, I just need more time in order to work on it. And I've always just wanted to make like a true diamond out of Pluckle in terms of like the tech stack that I'm using and the new technologies and libraries, just to make it so the performance is like smooth and it feels like a native experience. And JS13K is coming up, so I might pull something out of the bag for that. We'll see. But yeah, to me, it seems like having a polished game, I'd say, quote unquote, under 13 kilobytes sounds really difficult.
Yeah, it is. We had SourceCode, Timmy Koke, on the podcast very long ago already. But like he's building JS13K games a lot. And it's crazy how much optimization and runtime generation of assets he's doing to like get to that limit. It's really impressive, though.
Yeah. I look forward to that game jam. I haven't really done like a WebXR game jam. I've done like regular 2D game jams in the past, like Ludum Dare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. A really cool game. Just this morning, I played Keyboard Warrior, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, like a stupid game that I hacked together in like 2 days. But it's cool to see that people are still playing. And if I look at my Google Analytics, I see that like each month, at least like 100 people are still playing that game, even though I think it's almost 2 years old.
Oh, cool. So any of those ideas that those 20 ideas you mentioned, you want to go into something, or is it like we'll see it when you'll get there?
The thing is, I have so many ideas and I have no idea what will become the next Pluckle. Not that I want to build the next Pluckle, so to say, but whenever I want to release like a new WebXR game, it'll most definitely be a WebXR game, no doubt about that. But I want to have it like as polished as Pluckle, I'd say. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like, yeah, I can't release anything less or something that is worse, I feel like. But it's difficult to compare because Pluckle is such a minimalistic game. It's just putting blocks into a puzzle. Anything other than that would just be really difficult, but we'll see.
I see.
The thing with like trying out new ideas is always because I want to try out a new technology. I've been dabbling around with WebAssembly after seeing Soft Souls, City of Mementos, and Dudes by Daniel Esteban, I think it was.
Ah, yes.
And how he's experimenting with WebAssembly is truly amazing. And I'd love to bring some of that WebAssembly knowledge to Pluckle. I've been experimenting with it. And I feel like the other games that I'd be building also spin out of like me experimenting with like WebAssembly, for example, or other stuff.
Wonderland Engine is based on WebAssembly. I don't know if you know Wonderland Engine, but it's the engine that I build. So we at Wonderland Engine, we use WebAssembly just simply because it gives you like a head start in performance, and it's insanely cool what kind of things you can do with it, like with physics and everything just like runs super smooth automatically. But yeah, it's really cool to also see like the ray marching experiments that people have been doing, maybe also by Daniel Esteban. I'm not 100% sure who was doing those, but someone was building like a out of like blobs editor for like 3D objects.
Yeah, that's Daniel Esteban too.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So
yep.
Yeah, that's totally impressive what you can do there. Yeah, but it's like, it's difficult, I think, for web developers because it's just outside of the comfort zone also in terms of like technologies, programming languages and such.
Yep.
And as a compiled language, it's also like a little uncomfortable to get started with if you come from the web space, right?
Most definitely a bit uncomfortable. I was browsing through Daniel's repositories and I think he uses C++ mm-hmm. That he used to build the WebAssembly.
Yep.
And I was thinking about using C++, but I have no experience with it. So I came across assembly script.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that has been going way easier because it's like a TypeScript-like syntax that just builds to WebAssembly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of like nifty things that you have to keep in mind, like how you define stuff, how you pass arrays around. It's a bit of a hassle, but... yeah, it's part of the struggle of being a developer in a space that is WebXR at the moment. It's all new, and you have to do your own research in order to actually get stuff working, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I've also been, I've most definitely been looking at Wonderland and what you guys have been doing with it. I feel like being able to ship experiences fast and having built-in UI helpers and all of that stuff is going to be so important for major adoption. Like what Figma did to Photoshop is like what you guys are doing to Unity and Unreal Engine, right? But I should most definitely check it out. I've just been postponing it because I've just been so busy in really iterating over Plockl and experimenting in what I want to do next.
Totally cool.
Maybe Jonathan will add React support for Wonderland Engine. One day. Who knows?
He gets a little bit of a far stretch, but... yeah, if you have any questions or need any help, come to the Wonderland Engine Discord. Happy to like guide you through like the first starting steps.
Yeah, most definitely, I'll do that.
Okay, let's talk a bit about the future. How about what do you think are some of the upcoming WebXR projects that will be impactful? What are some of your favorite WebXR experiences?
So first off, as I mentioned, I feel like we're only getting started, right? When I look at WebXR today, I truly feel like it'll be the technology we use to consume XR experiences tomorrow or in the future. And I've always been a firm believer of the browser and how it's so easy to not only access content, but also reach people. There's fridges that have browsers nowadays. I mean, I don't see them running a Unity game, right? I feel like we're like actually getting closer and closer to a point where a browser is able to match the speed of like native applications. We're most definitely not there just yet, but hey, look at what Figma has been doing and Daniel Esteban and how they're leveraging WebAssembly to like trying to reach native speeds. But I want to say with that is that like there are a lot of cool tech demos right now and like small games like Archery Training, for example, and Construct Arcade, Cadenza, Exit. Last week I saw Fit and Punch XR by Daydev. I've never seen him before, but it was a cool game. But there isn't really like a Krunker yet for WebXR or like a RuneScape, but I'm sure it'll come, right? Something you can come back to. And I look forward to that day when we have like these browser games where you could come back to like every week because of new updates and stuff, and not just simple games. And I'm really excited for basically anything that is WebXR or people are creating. I'd love to see more demos. Also with that, I don't really have the time anymore to like do a lot of gaming because of like all the development I've been doing, but I should get back into playing more games.
Yeah. <feeling.
laughs> Like people have been asking me like a lot of my friends and colleagues have been getting VR sets as well because they get to try my Quest 2 when I bring it over to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, you should play this game and that game. And I'm always like, I'm just too busy, man. I can't play these games. I want to focus all of my free time on Plockl and WebXR developments. It's so hard to balance it out.
Yeah. Talking about like normal Quest games, like native Quest games, I recently saw a really cool tweet about Demio.
Yes.
Being played and like during the rounds of waiting for the other player to finish his round of Demio, his turn. They were playing Plockl, yep, right? Through Metachromium or something like that. Do you want to like quickly go into what was happening there and like explain that tweet?
So a couple of months ago, someone joined my Discord. It's just a Discord server with like 10 members in there. I'm not really promoting it. But this guy was like, hey, you should add Metachromium support or at least have the option to hide your background, for example. Because I'd like to play Plockl in like VR chat or something or in different games. And I've never seen Metachromium before. And I was like, okay, let me try it out. I just added the option to hide the background. And then a couple of weeks later, I get this tweet of someone playing Demio, but like in between rounds playing Plockl. And I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I never thought this would be possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think so either. Like what was necessary to make that possible?
It was actually pretty easy. Like Metachromium does all the heavy lifting for you. So for me, it was just hiding the background. And WebXR or like the API makes it possible to have a transparent background, let's say. So you can just mm-hmm. render your game and have that Metachromium layer on top of it to play Plockl.
That's amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, it's super cool to see people playing it like that. I imagine myself a future where people are on the bus on their way to school or going to the office with like AR glasses and playing Plockl on the bus, for example.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool indeed, yeah.
Talking about the future, where do you think WebXR is headed right now? Where do you think it's going?
As I mentioned, I feel like, yeah, we're only getting started. I feel like WebXR is the medium that we'll use tomorrow and in the future to consume XR experiences. Every device nowadays has a browser, so the most obvious thing to me would be like that WebXR will also be part of those hardware devices. So yeah, we're only getting started. It's a bit quiet. I was talking about this to Elijah from Zesty Market, and it's way too quiet at the moment. I feel like a lot of big players are actively working on WebXR experiences, not per se games, but like web applications in an immersive environment, all that stuff. Yeah, we're getting started and I'm truly excited for what'll come.
Do you hear anything about your company now that one of their employees, right, has built like a huge WebXR game or huge in popularity, right? Do they pronounce any interest in like maybe also going into the WebXR space or providing any WebXR services?
Yeah, there is most definitely an interest, but I think a hard part right now is finding customers who want to have an AR experiences or a VR experiences or yeah, XR experience in general. I feel like some people are experimenting with it, but finding the right client that takes into account that it's still pretty experimental and that you cannot have full Unreal Engine experiences in WebXR makes it a bit more difficult, I'd say. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there. I see a lot of schools experimenting with VR game development as well, like educational games, giving people trainings through VR, like factory workers, for example. The HoloLens makes it also really cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the interest is getting there. But yeah, in Belgium, I feel like we're always a bit behind Germany and the Netherlands in terms of like technology. So we'll most definitely get there. But I think it'll take like another 2 years before that actually start happening and the projects will start rolling in. But there's definitely people interested at my company in like the XR world and what we can do with it. Since our background is mostly web mm-hmm. and it converts really well to React 3 Fiber, the current stack we have, to what I've been doing in a web XR, let's say.
I see.
Oh man, I'm really excited about what's yep. going to be happening in terms of the web moving towards a more spatial version.
Same.
We should definitely have a metaverse episode, even though that term is, you know, frowned on upon, but we should definitely have a
yeah, what's going on with that term? I see people like tweeting about how they feel like what the term means and what it does not mean. I don't understand what's going on. Why are people so mad about like the term itself? Mm.
It's like AI, I think. It's kind of like saying AI to things and then saying like, oh, I have AI, but then you're just, you know.
Some people find like AI is way more than what you think or what you were using it for. What you're using it for is just simple machine learning or a collection of if conditions.
Yeah, I was thinking like 50 if cases like AI.
Yeah, I guess it's a term that you can easily use for anything, but a lot of people probably find that it means something very specific or something bigger than what people use it for. In my opinion, it's just a 3D website.
Yeah.
So effectively, like whatever the future is going to have in terms of websites, but in 3D and spatial, we're just going to be calling that a metaverse. Like it could be a YouTube metaverse and a Facebook metaverse and a Twitter metaverse instead of like the Facebook website and the YouTube website and the Twitter website, right? But it would be like the 3D social experiences that they would provide or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's also exactly how I see it. Like an interconnected network of XR experiences where you can just jump into one and jump into another just with walking through a door, for example. Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think we are looking at it from a very technical standpoint where we connect worlds, but there's also a lot of cultural connection between places. Like, for example, even if you have 2D websites like Twitch that have a lot of culture that they share between these channels, it is kind of like a metaverse, only the representation is not three-dimensional, right?
Mm. Yep. True.
So, Dries, before we close it off, what would you tell newcomers to this space? What would you recommend them to learn? What did you recommend them to do? What's your thoughts on that?
I'd say whatever you're making, keep struggling. Every time you struggle, you learn. Most definitely check out React3Fiber and ReactXR. It helps if you have some React experience, as I mentioned, but most definitely that's not required. Join Discords, join communities, always super helpful. Ask questions, answer questions, share demos. I'd love to see more WebXR stuff being created and being shared in the Discords. It's really important to ask feedback for your immersive experiences. Look for public repositories on GitHub. I browse GitHub a lot myself, and I just check out what people are doing, how they're structuring their app, how they're using certain frameworks or libraries. It has also gotten so easy to host your experiences, right? Getting a demo online is just pushing to GitHub nowadays with tools like Netlify, Vercel, Firebase. And I also say check out Twitter. You could even go to my Twitter. You don't have to follow me, but just check out the people I'm following. I've been living almost exclusively in this full XR bubble, and I absolutely love it. There's so much inspiration. People sharing code sandboxes with examples. Demos, just conversations that you actually want to be a part of if you, they're interesting to learn from if you aspire to be a WebXR developer. And the WebXR community also makes it really easy to be, well, it's not easy to be part of it, but it, I mean, just in terms of like how helpful everyone is, like the guys over at Poimandres, Oleg or Dubenko, the creator of ReactXR, I've asked him so much questions over the past 6 months and he's always so happy to help. So yeah, Blockle is most definitely is not like a one-man effort. Well, I'd say I put most of my time in there, but I've gotten help from so many people just because of the questions I've been asking. Just reaching out to people, but also answering questions if other people have questions. Just, yeah, be a part of the community, I'd say, is like my biggest advice.
We'll link all of the recommendations in the description. And yeah, I completely agree on the point of how valuable Twitter and Discord servers are in terms of finding the right community, finding the right tools for yourself. There's so much out there right now. And this ecosystem is booming, I would say, right now.
It's most definitely.
A lot of people are just joining and coming in. And the next steps are going to be really exciting. And I think the people who are in place right now are really doing the right thing, in my opinion.
Yep.
One last question. Where do people find you on the internet, on Twitter, your website, anything, feel free to plug now.
My website is dries.io, that is dries.io. You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/Kruens. It's like a dialect of my last name, C-R-O-E-N-S. OEWENS. And if you want to play Pluckle, if you want to play a puzzle game, go to Pluckle.com. That's basically it.
Awesome.
Or on the Oculus new tab page when you open the browser, and you'll see it being featured among other experiences.
Yes. And if you have a Quest 2, make sure to go check out the hand tracking module that I've recently added. It's also open source, so if you're interested in implementing it yourself in your own game, go check out the repository as well.
It also works on Quest 1, by the way. I checked it out.
Perfect.
Yeah. Therese, thank you again for coming on.
My pleasure.
One day, if you release another game, we should definitely also talk about it. So,
I'd love to. Thanks for having me, guys.
And wish you have a great day, and see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the White Rabbit WebXR podcast. Please make sure to follow the podcast. It helps us out. And follow us on Twitter @WebXR Podcast.